This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football anthem from CBS Sports and NFL Network. Nate Burleson is on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. You can watch him on CBS throughout the season, and it's 7 a.m. Eastern on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Nate, it's Grant and Danny in D.C. As a guy who played in the league at a high level, but at 33 years old, not going to go out there and do what you did at 24, what are you thinking about what Adrian Peterson is accomplishing with the Redskins when everyone kind of left his career for dead?
Well, listen, I'll add in on the plug. I feel like because this is the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, everybody's sleeping on him. and that's what they're doing with the simple fact that at his age, he was able to look like the age of his jersey number. I mean, looking explosive, fast, quick. And you know what? When Adrian Peterson was sitting at home this offseason, I thought to myself, it's best if he doesn't get picked up until a later date because, one, it allows him to create that hunger inside, like a guy who hasn't had breakfast all day. It's 10 p.m. It allows your body to heal from all the aches and bumps and bruises from a football season. But then it also gives you a chance to work out and retool and work on those little things. And, you know, over the course of the offseason, I feel like he worked on the explosiveness. He worked on the agility. He worked on those things that made him special, and we saw that, and we didn't see glimpses. We saw like a legitimate four-quarter, four-down running back, and it was amazing to see. And that's one of the reasons why we saw success within that Redskins offense.
Nate Burleson is an analyst for the NFL on CBS. Catch him Sundays throughout the season on the NFL Today on CBS. You can also catch him weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Good Morning Football on NFL Network. Nate, just about this Redskins group defensively, they were dominant in week one against Arizona. Now, part of that may be Arizona, maybe leave a little bit to be desired in terms of offensive efficiency and their capacity, but you had to be impressed with what the Redskins did in week one. How much of both sides of the ball, running as well as they did, and that great defense, is sustainable, do you think, going forward?
I think it's very sustainable. And, you know, I feel like what people think about victories in week one, they always slightly discredit the victor. And they say, oh, well, you know, Arizona didn't play so well. And I kind of found myself saying the same thing, even with, the Ravens and the Bills. Like, oh, well, the Bills, they just didn't play well. Well, listen, the Washington Redskins played well. And I remember going into that week, we were talking about players to watch and who you're excited to see. And I said, you know what, I want to say Alex Smith so bad. Because, I've been talking about Alex Smith all summer. And I always disrespected and looked over and I knew that he was going to play a consistent level of football. I knew that the surrounding pieces were going to step up and make plays. The level of consistency on both sides of the ball, that's what makes this team one of the better teams. And as much conversation as I have about the Cowboys, because they're the Cowboys, as much as we want to talk about the Eagles, because Carson Wentz is still sitting on the sideline, and Nick Foles can't do what he did last year and recapture that magic. And, of course, the Giants are always going to be in the headlines because they're the New York football Giants. The quiet Washington Redskins are a team that can sneak up and punch teams in the mouth. And that's what I like about the squad.
You mentioned the Ravens, Nate. They got the Bengals tonight on Thursday Night Football. One of these two teams is going to be 2-0. Do you buy that Joe Flacco maybe being pushed by the first-round selection of Lamar Jackson is a different guy now, or is it too early to say that?
No, he's not getting pushed by Lamar Jackson. If anything, Lamar Jackson is just in a position where he's learning how to be a better quarterback because of Joe. Position right now where he's as confident as ever and as comfortable as ever. He's one of the better quarterbacks that we have in this league, and I know the running joke and the water cooler conversation. Is he elite? Well, look, you won a ring. with a dominant defense and surrounding players on that offense. Now, think about this defense right now. They've been retooling for a couple of years now in the draft, in free agency, and in the offense. Yeah, John Brown, Crabtree, Willie Snead, Alex Collins, the running back, tight end play consistent. This could be the most talent that Joe Flacco has ever played with. So for people to think, oh, man, I'm surprised how well Joe Flacco is playing. No, think about the times you were critical on Joe Flacco and what he was surrounded by. Now, think about how well he's playing and what he's surrounded by. There's a reason why he's successful right now. And I'm kind of bought in on Joe Flacco on the Ravens.
Nate, what team surprised you the most, good or bad, or maybe one of each, in week number one?
The team that surprised me the most, I would say the Arizona Cardinals. I just got to be honest. You know, I thought that having David Johnson, it would be more of an impact. It would shock people. And you know, he's one of those, like, transcendent running backs that can change the complexion of the game. And I do feel like there's a question of who's going to be the quarterback on the Arizona Cardinals. The Giants were a team that surprised me in a good way. Just the fact that Odell and Saquon both went over 100 yards and getting Eli outside the pocket, because last year he was basically like a sitting duck behind an offensive line that wasn't protecting him. So I feel like they're just getting started. With all those questions surrounding the Patriots, what's going on with Tom Brady and the team, the new faces, the new places, Patricia gone, Deion Lewis, Malcolm Butler, Amendola, what are they going to do? You know what they're going to do. They're going to go out there and win. So I think that was a pleasant surprise, because as much as you want to do the heavy lifting on the Patriots saying this could be the year that the empire crumbles, it never really is. That's pretty much it. All the rest of the team, they were as good as I thought they were going to be.
Nate Burleson caught 457 balls over 12 seasons in the NFL, joining us here on Grant and Danny. Dealing with a corner like Jalen Ramsey, who talks all week long and tries to get you out of your game a little bit, Rob Gronkowski basically said it brings out the best in him. He's excited that Ramsey's already jawing about him. How did you combat that as a receiver?
I went out there and torched him, and I talked trash myself. I'm from Seattle, so I grew up watching Gary Tate, one of the best trash talkers of all times across any sport. So I remember young quarterbacks talking a little bit. Actually, my sophomore season, there was a young quarterback by the name of Amon Carroll, played for the Green Bay Packers. And
I remember
he was talking all week how he was going to lock up the Vikings number two. And the Packers would beat us twice that year. We ended up drawing them in a wild card game in Lambeau. And if you're familiar with that game, that was a game that Randy Moss, you know, mocked, pulling his pants down. And I remember Mike Tice, who was as good as anybody, as motivated players. He came in, he threw a paper down in my face, and I was sitting in the meeting room, casually kicked back. He was like, oh, this young rookie is going to talk crazy. You're going to let him talk crazy? I'm like, looking at my coach, I didn't even read this yet. You better read it. You better do something about it. And I wasn't even hype at that point. He just kept looking at me and kept needling me. And then all week, he was like, okay, all right, I don't know if it's going to be enough for this young dude that's going to lock you down. That's what he did, man. He's going to lock you down. So the coach did all of the hyping. And I remember I just got so mad that I was mad at the players on my team. And I dominated all practice, and I made a play, jumped over a dude. I trash-talked and spiked the ball. And I remember Coach saying, okay, now you're ready for Green Bay. And his goal worked. And I remember getting that game, and I gave him the business. And I was so mad at him. And I realized that there's a combination of trash-talk, but also my head coach. So I love it, and I feel like it is going to bring the best out of Gronk. But let's not sleep on Jalen Ramsey. I mean, this dude is tall, he's aggressive, and most importantly, he has long arms. One thing I hate about teams that face the Patriots is whenever you see Gronk screaming down the field, catching a ball, doing his dance, and the Gronk spiking the end zone, is because they didn't get any hands on him at the line of scrimmage. It drives me crazy that a guy that big, you have to knock him off at the line of scrimmage just to disrupt him a little bit. Even if it throws his route off or maybe peeks at him and says, oh, where is he at? He's not supposed to be where he's supposed to be. Because Gronk off the line of scrimmage, free running, is like LeBron James on a fast break. You're going to lose. You're about to get dunked on. And that's exactly what he does. He constantly dunks on DBs and linebackers because they don't get a hand on him. So I feel like that length of Jalen Ramsey, if they do end up matching up together, because it's not guaranteed that we'll see cornerback versus tight end. But if they split out Gronk and his motion, and you see Ramsey up against Gronk, oh, trust me, Ramsey's going to get the best of him, because he's great at the line of scrimmage with press coverage.
It's just great analysis. Nate, thank you so much. Every Sunday throughout the season on the NFL Today on CBS. Really appreciate the time, bud.
No, I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Nate.
Nate Burleson's a stud. Great having him back on the show. You heard what he said about Adrian Peterson. He thinks that he's got plenty of 100-yard games left in those legs, it sounds like. He's not alone. We had Ian Rappaport on the show yesterday. You will hear what he had to say about Peterson. He thinks what the 33-year-old did was sustainable against the Cardinals. We're Grant and Danny.
We are Grant and Danny for our friends at Window Nation. Everybody's back in school. Traffic is terrible. You know that school has started. Let's get educated about Window Nation, offering instruction on supply and demand. You beat the fall rush. Here's how. Window Nation's got extra capacity right now, so you lock in the lowest price before demand goes up. With Window Nation's back-to-school sale, you get one free for every one you buy, wood or vinyl styles, doesn't matter. You buy four, you get four free. You buy eight, guess what you get? Eight free. There's no limit.
No limit is such a big deal. As many as you want to get, one free for every one that you purchase. Plus, you're getting 0% interest until 2020. It's like a free ride. So use that savings on the kids' clothes or books or backpacks or shoes. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION. That's Window Nation. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Tell them you want no limit, buy one, get one, plus 0% interest until 2020. It's the Window Nation back-to-school sale.
Got to tell them that Grant and Danny sent you. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. Window Nation for your home and auto. That's where you live.
He ended up with 70 yards receiving as well. He went for 166 in his first ever game as a Redskin. We were all blown away. Yep. Everybody was very impressed. You couldn't have watched him and not, A, felt good for him as a guy whose career has basically ended a couple times over now. And B, felt like maybe, just maybe, the Skins have found something. They've unearthed the gem. This guy could be really good for them. Their running game's a lot better. He is an upgrade over Kelly, over P. Ryan, over Matt Jones, over the guys they've used the last few years. But is this sustainable? That's the question. Was this a great week where everything kind of went their way? Or could he rip a bunch of games like that off? Ian Rappaport on the show yesterday on Peterson.
I think it's sustainable. And, you know, if we look back, I don't know about injuries. There's no way to say, all right, he's not going to get injured. As guys get older, injuries tend to happen more. But the problem with Adrian Peterson is conventional wisdom doesn't work. So it's not like, remember when he come back from his ACL tear, it's like, oh, it's going to take a while. Like, it did not take a while. It took no time. He was fine. I mean, and now it's like, well, he's old. You know, he didn't look old. And I think if the Redskins can not run him into the ground, I think the Cardinals did last year, 30-plus carries, you know, basically treated him like a 22-year-old. If the Redskins can kind of ease back a little bit, they may have, like, one of the all-time great steals, because he's still Adrian Peterson. He still looks like it. And all of a sudden, like, I thought Alex Smith looked great. Peterson looked great. This could be a good team.
That's pretty bullish. Right?
That is bullish. He went on to praise the Redskins. We talked more about the team and how good they could be. Forget that for a second. Let's isolate this thing on Peterson. This is a national reporter who covers all 32 teams and has a pretty good beat on things around the NFL, saying he doesn't think what you saw Sunday will be a mirage. How crazy is that?
Very. Now, there aren't too many 50-plus yard receptions to be had for Adrian Peterson. That's career tells us that, circumstance tells us that, et cetera. But what I care about in terms of him is you have him there to run the football. And if you told me Adrian Peterson going for 3.7 a pop, yeah, that's sustainable. That's what he did in this game. That's what I think it's going to be. Now, you may not have the path to getting there where there's a bunch of runs of 9, 10, 12, 13 yards, et cetera, because that balanced off with the last five runs of the game, minus 2, 0, 2, minus 1, 2. That, to me, is closer to what we're going to see more often. But those gashing runs, especially in the first half, where they just lined up and beat up Arizona before some adjustments were made, I don't think that's coming again. I really don't, that level. And every time anybody has lined up and doubted Adrian Peterson, Rappaport alluded to it, he's done something amazing. Whether it's recovering from ACL surgery in 8 months and running for 2,100 yards and getting robbed of the MVP, by the way. Or maybe he did win it that year. I can't remember. But he is obviously in such incredible shape, and the stories will be written. There's only three guys in the history of this league that have rushed for 1,000 yards at this age. One of them is John Riggins, by the way. The other is still playing in Frank Gore, and I can't understand how he's doing what he's doing. But that's kind of the list, and there's one other guy. In this way, especially that first half, I don't think we're going to see all that often for a million reasons. But he's got to wear down at some point. And this offense just isn't – I refuse to believe they're going to be that good at running the ball. I can't believe they'll be that good.
I don't think they can replicate the yardage and the performance. I'm not even sure that that's necessarily what Rap Sheet meant, though, because I do think that that's going to be really difficult. But you don't need to. Mm. I mean, that's number one in the league type production. No one's anticipating that. Think about it. If he rushes for 96 yards every single game and he plays all 16 games, you're talking about a season where he went for 1536.
Right.
I'm not saying he's got to go for 1536. What I'm asking is it possible he could rush for over 1,000 or well over 1,000? Could he get to 1150? Because, again, the average per play was not special.
Yeah, 3.7 a pop.
Sub 4. That's completely replicable, and you can duplicate that all day long. That is what an average running back in the NFL rushes for. Now, his performance was way better than that average, I thought, as evidenced by the 17-yard run, the 13-yard run, mm-hmm. the 9-yard runs. There were a lot of zeros and ones in there that kind of brought the average down as the game went along. No denying that. But that's frankly why I think he can do what he did on Sunday. The best argument for more of the same from the running game in Peterson is that the healthy offensive line for the Redskins, when intact, is very good. Williams at left tackle is one of the best in football. Laval at left guard as a run blocker is pretty good when he's healthy. I would say he's an average NFL left guard when he is healthy as a run blocker. At center, Chase Roullier might be better than that if this weekend was any indication. Going back and watching him, Danny, one of my biggest takeaways from this game mm-hmm. was that guy can play. I'm serious. I really like your cousin.
Yeah.
At right guard, Brandon Scherff is a multi-time Pro Bowler. At right tackle, Morgan Moses is a very good NFL starter. You've got one area where you worry a little bit, and that was Laval. But in the running game, when he is healthy, and he is right now, there's no concerns. Now, the tight end position is where they couldn't block the last couple years. Reed had one of his better games in a while as a blocker. Maybe he spent some time over the offseason working. I don't know. My guess is he will revert back to form very soon. Jeremy Sprinkle is huge. If he can't block, I'll be surprised.
And what are we doing, yeah?
I think the combination of a healthy offensive line, which wasn't the case last year when they were terrible, was the case 2 years ago when they were much better, not coincidentally, and the fact that it's an upgrade. One of the debates you and I, not even just us, one of the great debates in football philosophy and paradigm offensively for many years has been how much does the running back matter to the success of an offense? In other words, the value of the position. If you've got one of the great running backs in the league and everything else around them is the same as an average running back, how much more production is that worth?
Mm-hmm.
I never thought it was that big of a deal, but I had countless conversations with Sean McVay about this, and he kind of changed my opinion on it. Where he said, dude, I'm telling you, if we had a guy with everything we got going on, we would run the ball all over people.
It now, would be good at it.
He's got Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley won the MVP last year, by the way.
Right.
But I think the upgrade from the dudes that they've had, who are Jags, to Peterson is substantial enough that they're going to be able to run the ball this year. I really believe that.
Here's why they'll be able to run the ball, in my opinion, and stay with me on this. Tell me what you think. Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed. If they're healthy, then you get more chances to plug it. Because there are, look at several possessions where you got Adrian Peterson for zero gain, Adrian Peterson for 1 yard. And that's what we dealt with last year, right? When you can move the sticks, because that's what Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed do. They bail you out when you've got a bad offensive play, when there's a holding, when there's a Ryan Grant illegal procedure penalty, a false start, whatever. You just split Chris Thompson out, Alex Smith flips on the ball, and it's a 15-yard gain. It's barely even a play, to be honest with you. It's like what Florida State used to do with, like, Peter Warwick. They would draw it up at halftime. They're like, let's just get the best player of the ball in space. And they bail you out. Last year, early on in some wins, the Redskins had countless third and longs where they just flipped the ball to Jamison Crowder, and he would wiggle his way for 19, 20 yards and change field position to keep the game going. You can get Peterson enough carries to keep smacking downhill. If you just do this, their normal bit, where, again, they did it plenty in game one, and we don't remember it because they were so successful over the course of the game, but if you convert on third down and you keep the football, you can keep trying, and you can have a number of, I think he had 7 or 8 carries that resulted in less than 2 yards over the course of a game. You can't do that if you can't keep going on third down. And when they didn't have Jordan Reed last year, or barely had him, and didn't have Chris Thompson, they couldn't sustain on third down. You don't get anybody a chance to keep plugging. So if those guys are healthy, bailing you out after those 0-1s, I think he can have this kind of a season rushing for 3.7 a pop.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. How sustainable is the success on the ground for the Redskins and the prolific performance of Adrian Peterson? Will it carry over? That's the question. We're going to get to your calls next. Line them up at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Can Adrian Peterson keep doing what he did Sunday? Not necessarily 96 yards per game or 1,500 yards for the season. That would be outrageous. But can he be very effective? Can he stay healthy? Can he be a workhorse? Can he take 20-plus carries a game like he did in a 26-attempt debut? Nate Burleson was just on the show. He continued a theme of our guests this week. Who's buying, not selling, on Peterson moving forward?
Well, listen, I'll add in on the plug. I feel like because this is the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, everybody's sleeping on him. and that's what they're doing, with the simple fact that at his age, he was able to look like the age of his jersey number. I mean, looking explosive, fast, quick. And you know what? When Adrian Peterson was sitting at home this offseason, I thought to myself, it's best if he doesn't get picked up until a later date, because one, it allows him to create that hunger inside, like a guy who hasn't had breakfast all day. It's 10 p.m. It allows your body to heal from all the aches and bumps and bruises from a football season. But then it also gives you a chance to work out and retool and work on those little things. And, you know, over the course of the offseason, I feel like he worked on the explosiveness. He worked on the agility. He worked on those things that made him special. And we saw that. And we didn't see glimpses. We saw like a legitimate four-quarter, four-down running back. And it was amazing to see. And that's one of the reasons why we saw success within that Redskins offense.
That's Nate Burleson, as heard earlier this hour on Grant and Danny. Thomas is in D.C. Thomas, do you think Peterson and this Redskins offense can keep the running game going like it was on Sunday?
So, I think they can. And first-time caller, guys, I listen to you guys almost every day.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think two things. One, we got to give Rob Kelly some touches. If we plan on AP being there for 16, 17, maybe 18, 19 games, if we make into the postseason and make a run, we don't want to drive him into the ground in the first 2-3 weeks. So, give that Rob some touches. Let him get it, you know, used to being a dual back guy.
Let me ask you this. You can continue in a second. Why not more Thompson? And I'm not saying give Thompson 20 carries, but he carried the ball a handful of times this past week.
Yeah, you saw the early down Chris Thompson, how magical it is.
You can give him 2 or 3 more carries. Rob Kelly's 2 more touches net you 4 more yards. I'm not that interested in seeing that much more of him, but I get that you don't want those carries on Peterson.
But Chris Thompson, I just don't want to look up. He was having a great season, and then the leg injury happened.
But that wasn't because he was getting too much work. That was because of a freak thing where he got rolled up on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But he's a small guy, too. Like, we got to treat more like Darren Sproles, where we don't want to beat him up too much, getting 2 and 3, you know, touches between the tackles. He's better in space. He's better on screen.
100%.
So flare out. So the other thing is, and this is a Jay Gruden play calling thing to me, I hate when Jay Gruden gets locked in his mode. If he's running the ball, we're going to run the ball 5, 6, 10 times. If he's throwing the ball, we're going to throw the ball the entire possession. There has to be more variety in series. Like, if we had 2-3 successful runs, let's go to play action. Get Jordan Reed involved. Let's have the defense bite. They're starting to bring that eighth man down into the box. If AP demands your respect, so go over the top. Let's see what these young receiving corps can do, but I don't see that, you know, variety in the play calling. I just see him pounding, 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 and then before you know it, you know, Adrian Peterson that ran the ball 28 times for less than 100 yards.
Thanks, Thomas. It's a great phone call. Hopefully make it again. And I actually think you're right, because he does get into these rhythms where it's run, 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 or pass, pass, pass. And you go back. I chart each play on notebook paper, and I go back after the game when I'm, you know, doing my thing to look up. Like, oh, second and 10. That was a 12-yard gain if I'm writing something up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you will. You'll see run, run, run. He gets into habits. But I can't argue with anything he did on Sunday because it all worked.
Yeah, two things.
At least in the first half.
One, I can get down with not running Adrian, not giving Adrian Peterson 30 touches a week if you want something sustainable. I'm fully with that. The Rob Kelly solution, not as much. But
he's not going to kill you getting four or five carries.
The flips, the other part of that is this past weekend, it's easy to pick apart and say, well, they ran on first down like however many straight possessions. Man, that they did everything they had to do on Sunday. They didn't show but anything. It was almost like a preseason type game where there's no reason to show anything because you dominated enough early. Second half was just about holding on. And there was no reason to kind of to throttle it up because you've got plenty more in your bag. I would be, I don't say skeptical, but I wouldn't necessarily pick apart the, hey, he got in a rut here. They were dominating that game.
Chris is in the district. Chris, can they keep it up with what you saw from Sunday?
Hey guys, yeah, I think they can, and just to latch on to what Danny said, I'm with you. I mean, if people can stay healthy like Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson, and we keep mixing it up the way we did in game one, I mean, just seeing that RPO and how they started to unleash that was exciting, and hopefully we start to see more over the course of the next, you know, 8 weeks or so, and just if we continue to keep people healthy, and I mean, I found myself all last game. I can ask all my buddies. I was in front of the TV just getting nervous about injury and just saying, let CT sit down a bit. Let AP sit down a bit. Take Jordan Reed out a bit. Like, you know, that's the part I'm worried about. If they can stay healthy, sky's the limit.
Do you feel like Peterson is a risk at all? Not from a health standpoint, because you can't really predict that with a 33-year-old, but in terms of durability or just being able to get through the season with that many touches, because it's weird. I don't really have much concern. It seems like he's in such immaculate shape. I don't really have concern about workload for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't either. And, I mean, if, like you said, if you look at kind of the way he treats his body in the off season, and you see the videos and the sprints and all these kinds of diets and the weightlifting and all that, I think he really takes care of himself. And I think there's not enough of a sample size over last year for anyone to even come to a conclusion on it because – you know, he was with New Orleans and didn't get any work, and then had it up and down with Arizona. But I don't think there's enough sample size for anyone to say that he can't handle a workload. And I think the chip on his shoulder this year is as massive as it's ever been. So I think it's positive looking forward.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Garrett's dude. In Great Falls. Garrett, everyone seems very optimistic about the running game. Where are you weighing in on this?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
Yeah, kind of to Grant's point earlier about how AP looked like he was running better than his average was showing. Most of those low yardage negative runs came towards the end of the game when we were up and trying to run the clock out, and you know the Cardinals could stack the box knowing what we were trying to do.
True.
Which kind of obviously brings that average down. It just, you know, I think it looked a lot better yardage wise total than the numbers showed at the end, just because of that fact.
Yeah, if you just look up the numbers by quarter, they're very different, obviously. And I do think, and we pointed that out, the last few drives for the Redskins where they really didn't move the ball very much,
right.
The Cardinals basically said, okay, they're going to try to run some clock and milk some time of possession, so let's stuff the run and make Alex Smith throw it. And he ended up going 4-for-10. It wasn't his best half either. But they didn't really do anything on offense. I don't fault Peterson for that, per se.
I certainly don't either. But again, I think we don't remember the specifics sometimes. Their second possession, where they ultimately marched down and scored, there were three runs that Peterson had that resulted in 1 yard or less.
That's going to happen.
That's my point. That's going to happen. They sustained a possession because Chris Thompson ran for 13 yards. They sustained a possession because Chris Thompson ran for 14 yards. That's how they got it. That led you to pop Peterson for 13, for 8. I think he had another 8-yarder where he broke a bunch of tackles. You don't get those without the possession sustaining. Normally, it's first down, you run for 0 last year, and you end up punting because you're in second and third and 10, and the whole world knows what's coming.
I think it might be surprising for people, too, that Peterson at halftime on 14 attempts was averaging 3.8. So 53 yards in the first half, which is on pace for over 100, obviously. It would have taken him 28 carries to get over 100. But it wasn't like he averaged 8.5 yards in the first half and then a bunch of zeros and ones brought it back down. He averaged essentially the same thing in the first half as the second half. 3.8 in the first half, 3.7 for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere around 3.5 or 3.6 after intermission. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Our double play, what's going on in our lives, nothing to do with sports, is next. We do it every day at 11:45. We're going blitzing. That's multiple teams, a couple of guests who cover the team in the locker room in one segment, all jam-packed, a lot of information. And then in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll get into whether or not it's time to buy in on the Redskins being pretty good. We'll also bounce around the NFL. Thursday Night Football is tonight. Gene? Underrated great snack. I don't have enough pickles. I need more pickles. I just got dilly bites.
Can I see them?
Yeah, so they're no brine added. Great for on-the-go snacking. Refrigerated dilly pickles.
Get to the dilly.
Market.
Yeah.
Basically, you're working with very healthy. There's like a little bit of sodium is about the only thing.
Sure, that's inevitable in a pickle situation.
But
you got no carbs, no sugars. Yeah.
Isn't that exciting for
get
everyone?
Get to the dilly. I am a pickle snob. I'm a snob about a lot of things, as you know. But one of the ones you wouldn't expect is the pickle. I can't just do your basic jar of pickles in like the grocery aisle.
You wouldn't be caught dead just eating this package of pickles I just got out of the.
No, I would, because that's like chip form. That's you, to borrow a little bit from W, if you chipify it, if you maneuverize it into a chipify, I mean, like, that looked pretty good. I was intrigued because it had a pickle smell wafting in my general direction,
mm-hmm.
and you had the appropriate crunch, not the snap of a pickle, but some crunch.
Well, that's because they're fresh packed, super crunchy.
Yeah, I love crunch, man.
Pickles are good. That was a good little salty snack. I enjoyed that.
Good little snack.
It is time for our double play, the Beltway Blitz on the Redskins and the Nats, coming up in 10 minutes.
Come on down to Jam and Java on Saturday. You know Chad Dukes. You know me, hopefully, if you're listening to the program. We want to introduce you to our friend Justin Schlegel. He hosts Justin Scott and Spiegel morning show in Baltimore on 98 Rock, home of the Ravens. He is one of the funniest dudes in the world. We're doing a show Saturday night. Go to jamandjava.com. You can buy tickets at the door. We prefer, of course, you get them beforehand. Doors open at 7. They got great food, beverages. They even got the coffee bar right there up front, but it's a great bar. I recorded my stand-up CD there a few years ago. We are getting together and kind of doing a round table, the three of us, sort of a tell-all. We know each other really well. We're going to make fun of each other an awful lot. We're kind of going to, kick it old school with a nice panel-style live show. There'll be Q&A from the audience and a bunch of things that none of us have ever revealed before in public, including some embarrassing details, worst moments we've had professionally, whole bunch of fun stuff. So tickets are $20. JamandJava.com. Come on out. Fun will be provided.
How formatted and laid out is a kind of run of show? How much of it is just off the cuff, wherever the night goes, you go?
It's a little of both. So, you know, our live shows, right?
Yeah, it feels like a 106.7 The Fan Live kind of
thing. It's a similar format to that because Chad obviously is a mega talent. We all know that. One of the things he does so incredibly well is maneuver the boat, such as it is, through those waters of navigating topics and getting us in and out of different things. Again, because if it's just Justin and me, we go stream of consciousness. Next thing you know, like, there's an imaginary dragon that Justin's trying to subdue with a spray can and whatever it is. He's hilarious. Again, he's like Jim Carrey, Robin Williams, that kind of guy. He's so, so damn funny. And Chad's going to kind of maneuver us through and then also be able to snipe and chime in as well. So we have an outline how much we get to.
So
of
you're
it.
Not doing a stand-up set at all?
No.
Neither of the three of you?
None of the three of us are.
Huh.
Yeah, so we're it's a little bit tell-all, a little bit making fun of each other again because we know each other really well and some deep, dark, dirty secrets.
Where are tickets at?
JamminJava.com is the event. Saturday night.
Very cool. It's time for my double play. Speaking of tickets, I got to complain a little bit for a moment. So thanks, first of all, to the good folks over at In We Go because your boy saw Drake last night. By the way, In We Go, which I've been telling everyone about because they sponsor us here at the station and I'm doing commercials for them and doing some social media stuff for them. Think about this. In the span of 5 days, Drake and Kevin Hart.
Wow.
Two of the biggest stars on the planet at Capital One Arena at sold-out venues, which is pretty cool. Last night, though, non-InWeGo division, but a Capital One Arena debacle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this is a thing, because I go to plenty of Capitals and Wizards games, and I just show my phone, and I have an app with a ticket, and they scan it, and I get in. I don't know if this was an overzealous ticket taker. I would say that it was, except that a couple of other people subsequently that are their bosses that I talked to and was furious with last night would go on to tell me that they did the right thing. But as I tried to get in last night and they scanned my ticket, it shows up as a green check mark. It says, just like if you scanned the ticket that you're sent in the mail or that you buy from the box office, your normal sports ticket, on the little electronic UPS package receiving device looking thing that they hold at the box office slash the ticket center.
The little sample, whatever you call it, they scan an item
at a store with.
Yeah.
They do that to my app on my phone. My brightness is up. It's green check mark. It says, go. I'm ready to walk in. And she stops me and goes, wait, do you have a hard copy of your ticket? And I said, no, I don't. Oh, you need one. I said, I don't think I do.
It's 2018, ma'am.
She said, yeah, you do. I said, why would I need a hard copy? You just scanned it. It said it was a good ticket. I'm in now. I literally walked 5 feet. I'm in. She's calling me back. And she goes, because what happens if your phone dies? I don't know. Then I guess my phone dies. That sucks. What happens if I lose my hard ticket that you want me to get? Probably the same thing. So we had to go stand in a line for an hour, legitimately, during the show. The show started at 7. We got there at 7:30, thinking Drake wouldn't go on forever. Migos, we were right, by the way. Migos played late. Drake played late, whatever. But we were in line for a full hour with hundreds of our closest friends.
Just unacceptable, man.
These are people that got their tickets through Ticketmaster. These are people that got their tickets through StubHub. These are people that got their tickets from all over the place who just had the mobile app.
Of course they do. That's been fine. You can get on an airplane with that. You can go into every venue, every time,
2018,
always.
It's unacceptable to not accept that. So when I actually got up to my seat, there was actually a listener to the show who got InWeGo based on listening to the show, who got in with his InWeGo app. They just scanned it. It said okay, and they let him walk right in at another entrance. So I think that this lady was just over following the rules. But when I talked to the people at the box office for Capital One Arena, they were basically on her side saying, yeah, we mandate that everyone has a paper ticket. I said, I've never heard of that.
Since when?
Here is the thing that almost made me turn around and walk out. I'm not joking. I get to the front window, finally, and this was legitimately 60-plus minutes of waiting in this line. I get to the front. They don't print me a ticket, Danny. They wrote me. So it's like that paper that's like a speeding ticket, whatever that's called, with like two-sided, so they write on it, and then they get one,
and then
you get one,
copy,
they peel it off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that kind of paper. It's the size, basically, of my hand. It's like a square that's like a quarter of an 8x11 sheet of paper. And all they did was, I needed a quote-unquote seat assignment, which I already had on my mobile ticket. It said where my seat was. They look at my phone, write down my seat assignment, and then put their initials that they're agreeing that I can get in.
That's just so stupid.
Hold on. They hand me that sheet, that ticket, so to speak. It's actually like a speeding ticket, looks like.
You're right.
And they charge me $5.
Outrageous.
Because of the printing, of the paper that they had to hand me.
Uh-huh.
So for the two of us to get in, I now paid $10. And waited an hour to get in. I have not been that mad about anything.
Here's my wager.
In so long.
Here is my bet that it is because it's an awesome app, the thing that you're talking about, InWeGo, there is a shortfall somewhere where the biggest scam in our society are the ticket websites, whatever they happen to, or the ticket broker, not brokers, but you know what I'm talking about. The ticket outlets, right?
Yeah.
If I'm having an event and I gotta go to, I don't know, name the thing. You know the ones I'm talking about, right? The fees that they charge for nothing. It's just money, just siphoning out, because the cost of the ticket's $50. Not so fast. The fee, the processing fee is $7.95.
Yeah.
Bull crap. You don't process anything.
But
I'm printing it out of my own email.
Correct.
There's no processing charge.
I want
That's
to clarify,
what it is.
Though, I think I was the only person in the line with using InWeGo, in other words.
Right.
Because InWeGo's so new. I met a couple other people who have heard from the show and were sitting in the same row as us.
Mm-hmm.
But these people were just Danny Ruye, who got on StubHub,
right,
got tickets to Drake, and tried to get in electronically. You're standing in front of me in this same line because this person isn't letting you through unless you have a paper ticket.
Yeah, somebody needed a processing fee somewhere. I mean, I guarantee there was a shortfall, and someone decided that's what we're going to do as a matter of policy. That's bullcrap,
man. I'm going to see Kevin Hart on Saturday night, and my guess is I'm going to go in anywhere else but to the one lady who wouldn't let me in, and my guess is I will get straight in. If not, I don't know what the next step is, but they got to figure that out at that arena. Ted Leonsis and company, at Monumental Sports, they're too advanced. They're too smart. They're cutting edge when it comes to, like, betting in sports and all these things. I can't be having paper tickets or bust in 2018. That's unacceptable.
Yeah, and if you want to do the paper ticket, that's all well and good. But it's go to a Caps game. Go to a Wizards game.
Yeah.
Go see Taylor Swift. It's all on the phone.
You should be able to have a paper ticket.
Yeah.
But I got a ticket on my phone. I need to be able to get into the arena.
Yeah, 100%.
That's it.
Every time, always. Let's say you need a paper ticket. Okay. The fact that it's an hour and then it's a $10 surcharge for that.
Charge me.
An hour wait.
I waited for an hour and then you said $5 each, please. I literally said, what?
There is nothing acceptable about that. Nothing.
Grant and Danny on the Fan Beltway Blitz at noon right here on G&D.
Here's what is acceptable. Going to see my guys at Tedbert Ford. I got some deals. I got deals, baby. Ford EcoSport 2018 version. $199 a month. 36-month lease. 2018 Escape. $269 a month. 36-month lease. 2018 Explorer. $339 a month for 36 months. Or you can go down the Rouillet Road. That's right. I'm not named after, there's no road named after me. I'm not the Grand Marshal of a township or something. I'm not up for the Hall of Fame in Northern Virginia. No, sir. What I am up for is a guy that's been to Tedbert Ford twice, and I've gotten two different cars, and here they are. 2018, I got a 2016 Edge, but a 2018 Edge, just $259 a month. That is a deal, my friends. We love that ride. The Rouillet's got one, and it's outstanding. Or I got a 2017 Fusion. You can get a 2018 Fusion. 0% interest for 72 months or just $219 a month for a 36-month lease. These, now this is an industry term, these are called excellent deals. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford, and when you do, tell them to listen.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.